All right, welcome back to the Minnesota Twins Leading Off Podcast. We are back here after some arbitration news involving everyone's fan favorite Eddie Rosario. Matt Wisler and Trevor May is gone. We've got some just big news to cover. We're gonna cover some rumors surrounding the Twins, free agency, trades. They've got money to spend. Cruz could be back. He could be gone. You never know. I'm here with Andrew Gibo. Andrew, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Cooper. We've been a little while since we've done one of these shows. Ready to get back into it and talk about some off-season action and where the Twins are at right now in early December.
Absolutely. I'm excited to get into this. It's one of our, there's finally things to talk about. The off-season isn't exactly in full swing yet, but I don't know if it ever will be. But the things have happened. We've got things right to talk about, content to make.
At what point is Major League Baseball offseason in full swing? They call it the hot stove, but it's more like a low simmer, I guess you could say.
It's horrible. But, the NBA has one day where everything's crazy fun. MLB's like, we'll go 6 months. Something might happen. Something might not. But whatever. The winter meetings are actually taking place right now, aren't they?
I believe they are.
Yeah, can you tell? Can you feel it in the air?
I can, yes. I can feel winter in the air, Cooper.
It's that buzz, too. The MLB, winter meetings. No, it's boring.
That is where the Josh Donaldson rumor started a year ago, so there are some good things that come out of the winter meetings.
And then about 5 months later, he ended up on the Twins. So we'll just start off this past week. The arbitration news started with Eddie Rosario, who the Twins for about 2 years now, everyone's kind of been thinking Rosario's likely gone if you've been paying attention. A bunch of players exactly like him were cut. Kyle Schwarber, David Dahl, left-handed hitting left fielders who don't get on base but hit for power, and their stats make them look a lot better than they are. So Rosario was owed about $10 million. Twins did not want to pay that. No one wanted to pay that, as the Twins said to every team, basically. They put him on waivers and no team claimed him. So obviously his value at $10 million is much higher than any team wants to pay. So what do you think of the Rosario news of him not coming back next year?
It was kind of one of those things where you saw it coming. I think we went into the offseason fully expecting that Eddie Rosario would be gone. So it surprises nobody. But it is one of those decisions that it kind of hurts. Eddie Rosario is a fun guy to watch play baseball. He does a lot of highly entertaining things on the diamond, but he also does a lot of very frustrating and head-scratching things that make you not like Eddie as much. And while he does add value, there are a lot of shortcomings to his game, kind of like what you had touched on with not really getting on base at a very high clip and some of his defense and his boneheaded base-running decisions. So at $10 million, the Twins, it was an obvious decision. They can plug in a guy like Alex Kirilloff, who's ready to play at the big league level, for like $9.5 million less, and they're likely going to end up getting similar offensive production from him. So it was a no-brainer from the very beginning of the offseason.
Right. I'm glad you mentioned Kirilloff, because I don't know if the Twins, do they make this decision if they don't have, Alex Kirilloff, Trevor Larnach, Jake Cave, a million left-handed, or just replacement outfielders ready to go? Or what if the money is $7 million? What if there wasn't just a pandemic? No way. I don't think of the Twins like, this guy isn't good. It's just with all the factors that went into play, bringing back Eddie Rosario just did not make sense, especially for the $10 million. And as you mentioned, Kirilloff likely to take that role almost immediately if they don't. Unless they just bring in some guy in a 1 year deal, but Kirilloff looking like he's going to take that spot. So Rosario, we knew he'd be gone. Still a bit weird to see, but not at all a surprise.
Exactly. I think you bring up a good point there. If the Twins didn't have the organizational depth they have right now at the farm system, I don't think they make this decision with Eddie. They probably bring Eddie back at $10 million, because realistically $10 million for a guy like Eddie Rosario is actually relatively fair in terms of major league salaries, right? From what he gives you on a production standpoint, $10 million is a fair amount to pay for a guy like Eddie Rosario. But what made the decision so easy for the Twins is the fact that they could save $9.5 million and get similar production from one of their farm system guys, and Alex Kirilloff, or maybe it's Brent Rooker. So if you take them out of the equation, Eddie Rosario is probably still on the Twins. At some point, they have to start freeing up spots to get these top prospects in there. And Eddie was sort of the first guy to go as we transitioned to sort of the new core of the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, absolutely. And he'll go out there now. Get I mean, I'm assuming he's looking for a multi-year deal, probably 2 to 3 with $7 to $8 million per year, maybe a little less. I don't, it could be anything. I have no idea what his market's going to be, but how would you feel if he ended up on the White Sox or Indians? I think that would be a ton of fun. That would be great.
It would be a ton of fun, you know, and maybe I'm biased on this one, but I there is interest, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Eddie end up in San Francisco. You know, they need some stability in left field. Since Barry Bonds retired in 2007, the Giants have started a new left fielder on opening day every single year, which is kind of remarkable. That's 14 years in a row they've had a new starting left fielder on opening day. One of them was Michael Reed, a former Twins farmhand, if anyone knows that name.
Former anyway, Twins. I think he was a top prospect at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so. And maybe not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just one destination for him. I could see him in San Francisco, but, you know, that would be certainly interesting and fun and, I guess, kind of weird to see him remain in the division. I think the Indians could be interesting. The Indians could certainly use a guy like Eddie, but, they, you know, they also don't want to pay anybody. So, if the Twins aren't going to pay Eddie $10 million, I don't know if the Indians are going to do it either.
Yeah, the Indians are going to have a payroll of, like, under $40 million once they get rid of Lindor and possibly Carrasco here, so... Not looking good for them, but I would love for Eddie Rosario to end up on the Indians just because of how much fun that would be. It'd be like playing against Yasiel Puig, except Yasiel Puig hates the – well, he doesn't – Rosario wouldn't hate the Twins, but he'd want to get back at them. He'd like you know, I want to show you I'm really good at baseball and probably hit a really big home run in September, and it'd be great, but it'd be a lot of fun.
And then Twins Twitter and everything would blow up with how stupid they were for letting Eddie go. They let the next David Ortiz walk away.
Absolutely. It just spice up my life so much. But yeah, not surprised at all. Nothing crazy there. To some people, if you weren't paying a ton of attention and you wake up to see 104 RBI guy Eddie Rosario cut, it could be a shock. But yeah, after, you know, that big of a surprise.
And then you have to explain why 104 RBIs hitting cleanup for the 2019 Minnesota Twins is not necessarily that indicative of a guy's talent. Right.
He could have had 250, but moving on to someone who actually was a surprise when it was announced he wasn't going to be brought back. Reliever Matt Wisler, who had like a 106 ERA in his innings. He was just a guy. The Mariners let him go after the 2019 season. The Twins went, all right, you know how to throw a slider. They picked him up. And that's all he threw. They turned him into an 84% slider guy. And he, you know, he's baby Sergio Romo out there. And he was really good at pitching. And after this year, likely owed around roughly $1.5 million in arbitration. But Twins said no. And it's kind of a mystery why. My one theory is maybe the agent of Wisler was going to be like, in a full season, that's a 106 ERA over 75 innings. And push for around $4 million. But I don't know. It's a strange decision. I would have loved Whistler back. I expected him to be the seventh inning guy this season, but now he's not even on the team. And I know you were just as shocked as me. You texted me almost right away. So what are your thoughts on it?
I was very shocked. You know, like we just talked about Eddie Rosario and how that was, you know, that was just a matter of time. It wasn't a matter of if, it was just when with Eddie, right? With Whistler, right. I mean, this was supposed to be a slam dunk, re-sign him, bring him back. Look at what he did last year. Kind of pulled him off the scrap heap, and then they non-tendered him. And it was certainly a big surprise. Your theory is probably a little more grounded in reality than mine. The only theory I could come up with is the Twins front office thought that they caught lightning in a bottle with him, and over a larger sample size, those numbers wouldn't be there, and they decided to not pay a guy $1.5 million who they didn't believe was actually going to be able to replicate what he did in 2020 over, you know, a longer season. If that's the case, you know, who knows? That was kind of the only thing I could really think of as to why the Twins decided to cut bait with Wisler.
Yeah, my theory is just completely speculation. I have no idea at all. Like, I'm not – but that's the only thing I can come up with, because paying 1.5 mil for a guy with a 4 ERA is still good. Like, you've got, you know, 4 or 5 relief spots open you got to fill, and why isn't Wisler one of them? I don't know. It's strange, but – they have their reasons, obviously. Maybe at the end of the offseason, they swing back in, get them for $1 to $2 million, and we all forget about this, but who knows?
Right. That was the next thing I was going to say is, you know, there is still the possibility that they do bring him back, But at this point, you know, I would imagine he's probably a little soured by the Twins. And if he gets an offer of free agency, he's gone. I mean, he could possibly even get a multi-year offer, not like a, you know, 4 or 5, maybe a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
So it's a low likelihood they bring him back. And it is certainly a shock. And maybe we'll never know why. Maybe he implodes next year and we all kind of go, oh, well, maybe it's a good thing they didn't bring him back. Who knows?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a bit of a mystery. Strange, but we'll see in the end. He was not the only reliever to leave Minnesota this past week, as Trevor May said was the first non-starting pitcher free agent signing, I think. And he goes to the New York Mets in their new era of spending $1 billion every year, it seems, because that's what they're going to do. But yeah, Trevor May signs with the New York Mets for 2 years, $15 million, $7.5 million per year. I mean, good for him. He's a good, you know, seventh, eighth inning guy. He's got a 97-mile-per-hour fastball, great breaking ball, and looked like things really started to click this year. But yeah, the Mets took advantage, and they got a solid reliever for the next 2 years.
Yeah, that was, I mean, I guess in a way it was a little bit of a shock. You know, I think it was kind of like 50-50 whether or not the Twins were going to sign him. I believe we talked about on a previous episode, and I think we were kind of in agreement that he likely wouldn't come back. But yeah, I mean, good for Trevor May. He's a good player. He's a good guy. The Twins, you know, the Mets gave him a decent amount of money, and he's going to be in a bigger market. I know, you know, Trevor May does a lot of kind of business venturous things off the field as well. And, you know, playing in a bigger market might have been more appealing to him, you know, for setting his life up outside of baseball. So those are certain things that go into, you know, decisions as well that the Twins just, they can't really compete with. And that's just kind of a reality. But, you know, good for Trevor May. Happy for him. Hopefully, you know, he has success over there in New York. And good thing he's in the National League now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, well, if you don't know, he does stream on Twitch. He's a really big creator on there all of a sudden. And quite frankly, I think he cares about streaming just the same, if not more than playing baseball. So New York is probably better for him for that, too. It's New York. It's better for whatever you want to do. But, yeah, so... If that probably influenced a little, but yeah, good for Trevor May. Moving on, he's a solid reliever. He'll be in the back of the Mets bullpen, and I'd love to see the Mets make the playoffs. I enjoy watching the Mets, and yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't turn into an Edwin Diaz experiment for the Mets.
Right, he just throws 100 miles per hour, but forgets where the strike zone is.
Yeah.
That'd be great, no. But yeah, that's all for the three roster moves, three players gone. Two of them, kind of surprising, Rosario not so much, but in the last couple days, it was revealed that Thad Levine was interviewing for president of baseball operations in Philadelphia. That is currently Derek Falvey's role in Minnesota. Levine is the GM, so it would be a nice little level up if he had gone to Philly, but I don't know if it, you know, the rumors came out as like, oh, he might be gone, but in the end, it sounded like Levine never really wanted to leave. His family loves it here. He loves it here. Him, I mean, they're obviously building something great in this Twins organization. And he basically said, like, nah, I don't want to because I like it here much better. So he interviewed, checked in, and then was like, nah. But yeah, you got any thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm happy about it. I'd like to keep him here. You know, when I heard the rumors that Philly was interested in him for that president of baseball operations role, I wasn't really surprised. You know, I mean, he is one of the bright people in the game. He's helped in turning around the Twins franchise and making them into perennial contenders. But I'm happy to see him stay. I think it's also just, you know, it's a testament to where he believes the Twins are at right now. You know, it seems like he really believes the Twins right now are a better team than the Phillies, and the future is brighter here. And it could even be a situation where he understands if he stays in Minnesota for another couple of years and the Twins continue to have success, you know, that could potentially set him up for an even better job with a different organization down the road. But all in all, happy to see him here and you know, good for Thad and the Twins in general, that their front office guys are getting recognized around the league as being some of the best and brightest and you know, sought after people in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad he's staying here. Then him and Falvey did kind of just sign extensions too, so it's not surprising that they're sticking around. But yeah, I'm glad they are, and they're doing well here. So we're going to go to break in a minute here, but I have a question for you that we can just kind of throw out there just to tease all the fun topics we're going to talk about next. Would you rather have, so you get Trevor Bauer for $35 million per year or whatever, or would you rather have Nelson Cruz and either, you know, Tanaka, Odorizzi, Paxton for a combined $35 million.
Man, it's tough. I think I'd rather go with Nelly and bringing back Odorizzi. You know, I think that the Twins are in a position too where, you know, they've had success the past couple of years, and when you've had success and you've been a winning team, it is important to some extent keep that core group together. Nelson Cruz has been a significant part of that. I don't necessarily think his production at age 41 is going to be through the roof, but he's still going to be a capable player, and he's part of the core of this team. And then, you know, same with Jake Odorizzi. And I just think that keeping as much of the team intact as you can, that's one over the past couple of years, certainly can't hurt you. As opposed to just throwing $35 million at one guy in Trevor Bauer and hoping that he can be the final thing that gets you over the edge.
Does your answer change? I don't know what your perception is of Bauer right now. If his deal is 1 to 2 years.
The thing is, you know, if he only wants a 1 year deal, I think that even if it is a really high annual salary, they would still be comfortable adding other pieces there, especially, you know, like, yes, they would be way over on their payroll if they brought in Bauer, Nelson Cruz, and maybe I'm like pipe dreaming here, but you're talking, yes, two big deals, but 1 year, right? So if it blows up, it's just 1 year. Yeah, so it does change the conversation with Trevor Bauer. If he is open to a 1 year, absolutely throw the money at him, try to get him to come here. And that also still leaves your options open to add other pieces. And maybe you go over budget, but you're not locked in at 5-6 years at that high of a payroll.
Yeah. And just for the record, I think Bauer would be stupid to take anything less than a 5 to 6 year Steven Strasburg, Garrett Cole type of contract here. You could tear your elbow any season. You got to get your money. But he's said, and he's kind of a weird dude, that he'll take 1 year deals till he retires. So I don't know. But I think I would, if it's a short 1 to 3 year deal, I think I'm going to go the Trevor Bauer route on this. I would love Berríos, Maeda, Bauer, Pineda more than I love Cruz in the middle of the order or Odorizzi sliding into the rotation. I think that'd just be so much fun.
I wouldn't be opposed to that rotation. Right. I'd probably shuffle it where you have Bauer 1, Maeda 2, Berríos 3. I mean, yeah, that's pretty deadly right there.
Right, and Dobnak 3, and yeah, no. But
you know, I think you've changed my mind, Coop. And now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, man, you look at, you know, the past World Series winners, and you look at how well their pitching has, you know, carried them. And if you have a rotation, a healthy rotation, with Trevor Bauer, Kenta Maeda, and Jose Berríos as your front three in a postseason rotation, I mean, that is deadly. That's potent.
Yeah.
And that's going to carry further than Nelson Cruz is going to at 41 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude's old. And the last two times the Twins have been in the playoffs this past year in 2019, their lineup has been really good, and they've gone 0-5. So I'd just love to have some elite starting pitching. Just three guys that can go shut you down three games in a row and win a playoff. All I want right now, I don't care about the World Series. I want one playoff win. You can do whatever you want after that. I don't care anymore.
The bar is that low. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. After the Twins got swept by the Astros, I was like, I'm done. Like, this is absurd. Are you kidding me? One playoff win. If they get swept in the playoffs next year, I may just disappear. You may never hear from me again. No one will. I'm going off the grid.
Well, you already live so basically in Canada, so you kind of off the grid.
Yeah, that's fair.
But not yet.
Yeah, just stop doing this and I'm off the grid.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, hey, hopefully they can win more than one postseason game. But yeah. I hear you. Just. Win one, and then hopefully the rest is come in bunches, I suppose, is where they're at.
If you have three elite starting pitchers, the chances of you winning one playoff game is so good. I need the Bauer. I need Trevor Bauer. But it's more likely they go the Cruz, Tanaka, or Odorizzi route, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be tough to get Bauer to come here. It'd be really nice. We said it'd be tough to get Donaldson here, and sure. You know, he's here, but it's just unlikely.
Yeah, especially when 29 other teams are – if he wants a one-year deal, 29 other teams will be paying a lot of money with a lot more incentives. But, yeah, Bauer's a pipe dream at this point. it's unlikely. And now we're just going to go to a quick word from our sponsors and come back with some payroll talk. All right, we are back. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk a bit about the payroll, if the Twins could spend, how much they have, and all that fun stuff. So right now, after the Twins did not bring back their three players, Rosario, May, Whistler, and Cruz is currently not on the roster. Marwin Gonzalez is gone. All those guys are just currently not on the roster. The Twins stand at $88 million with, you know, roughly, how much, $40 million expected to be spent. Is that, that's fair. Reach about $130 million.
Yeah, that's about
They've got room to spend. And they, if Cruz... Cruz is likely to take about $15 million of that if he comes back. With, especially now that it's been announced that there's no designated hitter in the National League that limits Cruz to just 15 teams. And if he comes back, I'm thinking he'll get $15 million. That would put the Twins at about $103 million. And I want to know, do you like Cruz coming back for $15 million, just kind of taking up that much chunk of the payroll?
Yes. Given the fact that Eddie's gone, and I think they're going to have a lot of an influx of youth on the roster again, I think Nelson, he does add a lot of like the intangible, you know, values, as well as what he does on the field. He's hit at age 39, at age 40. So I mean, I'm not necessarily expecting that Nelson Cruz is going to hit, you know, 35 home runs and driving over 100 and be that powerful force. But he's still going to be a capable major league hitter, and he's going to do a lot of other really good things for the team. And I think they'll have enough talent around him where they can still be a really good baseball team. And so if you have the chance to bring back Nelson Cruz at this point, I say go for it. If they had kept Eddie, then I would be like, there's no point.
Yeah. So for me, Cruz as just the baseball player, just the offensive ability he brings at 41 years old, I don't know if I bring him back, you know, if it's MLB The Show where none of the intangibles matter, like talking to the young players and teaching other players, being like a player coach, essentially. I probably don't bring Cruz back, but we think he's at least connected with Miguel Sano. He's had a lot of help. He's helped him a ton there. He's probably going to help the guys like Kirilloff, Lewis, just make the transition into the MLB a lot smoother. The year before he came here, the whole team was a mess. Sano was horrible. Sano was sent to single A. He just didn't know how to handle himself, basically. And Cruz has kind of done a huge influence, showing him what he needs to do here. And a lot of that is why I do bring back Cruz for the $15 million, despite him being 41 and likely his offensive production is not going to be a 1,000 OPS anymore. But yeah, I think I'm pretty confident that I do want him back.
Then I have a question for you, Coop. All right, let's just say we don't bring back Nelson Cruz. Who do they use in that role? I mean, do we just do DH by platoon? Do they bring in Kyle Schwarber for half the cost of Nelson Cruz? Where do you think they go if they don't bring back Nelson?
So that would free up. I think if they don't go Nelson Cruz, it means they've brought in at least one of the starters of like the Tanaka Odorizzi group, and then maybe a guy like Michael Brantley to fill that role. I think Michael Brantley, he's someone I think would fit well. He hits for average. He doesn't really play outfield, but he'd be a solid DH. He's just kind of someone the Twins' power hitting style of just let's hit a home run here. You know, Brantley could kind of change it up a little. He could hit for average, and just I think he'd be a nice fit on this team. But obviously, I'd want Nelson Cruz over him, I think. So, but if they don't go Cruz, I expect them to go for two solid free agents of the Brantley Tanaka type. Maybe my expectations are too high for them, but that's what I think they should be doing.
You know, the thing is, if you bring in Brantley, I mean, he's probably gonna make $11-12 million. So you're really only saving what is that, $3-4 million?
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so it's like, it's the thing, there's not a lot of, like, really great. I mean, okay, but do you want to go Adam Duvall?
I guess maybe not Brantley. Maybe I bring in a Tanaka type and then someone making half of what Cruz currently is. I don't know if that's Oh man, Duvall. I don't like Schwarber at all, so I'm not gonna really. I don't think he'd fit on
You're
this team very well, but
looking at like Jock Peterson, Hunter Renfro, which actually
right.
Hunter Renfro is a very intriguing name.
There's another like yeah. I'd
Ryan
like
Braun, I don't think Ryan Braun leaves Milwaukee. We got Adam
right.
Duvall.
I'd like a combination of Tanaka and Hunter Renfro if Cruz leaves. That's
I can
what
see
would
that
fit
for
for me.
sure.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end, it's most likely Cruz stays, and we end up with Corey Kluber. I mean, it's either we end up with Cruz Kluber, or hopefully, this is if Cruz leaves, hopefully a Tanaka and then Renfro. It's one of those
You're
two
really high on
scenarios that I like
Tanaka,
to
aren't
happen.
you?
I mean, he's just in that second tier of names that I can keep throwing out along with Odorizzi. Although, yes, I'd like Tanaka on this team. I think he's really good. But Tanaka, Odo, I guess James Paxton, but no, not really. But so it's really just those two. I'd expect the Twins to pursue one of those two if Cruz leaves.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think Odorizzi is a more like one more likely option.
Yeah, Tanaka is just a name that I can throw out that we haven't heard much before. Odorizzi. Sounds like, I don't know, because the Twins do want him back, but I don't know. I don't think he's coming back. I could be wrong.
I
But,
think there's a good chance Odorizzi comes back. I mean, I know there's a lot of interest in him. I just, yeah, I mean, it depends, I guess, if how many multi-year offers Jake gets. He took that gamble on himself last year. It kind of blew up in his face due to injuries and a lot of things out of his control. And so it may be in Jake's interest to try the whole 1 year deal thing again and stay in a familiar place. And I think that could ultimately be where Jake is at.
Yeah, I agree. It could be either, but I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of like Trevor May. We don't really have a sense of what's gonna happen there. At least I don't think so. Then moving on here, since we're done with there, I kind of want to move on to trade talk here. So the Twins, I want Blake Snell. I want Sonny Gray. I want Zach Wheeler, who's kind of been removed from the trade market. But I want these guys, Lindor, Story. I don't care. I want the Twins to make a trade for a big name player. I mean, Snell's making roughly 13 mil right now. So is Sonny Gray. Zach Wheeler's actually making a lot of money. I think like 20 mil. But as I mentioned, he's kind of off. And I'd be willing to give up a lot. And I mean, for a guy like Snell, what do you think's We didn't really discuss Blake Snell last time, did we?
We did not.
No. So, what do you think's a reasonable package that the Twins could do? Like, it would obviously have to include one of Kirilloff Lewis, right? I mean, that's just a starter.
Right, that's where it begins, and that's kind of what scares me.
Yeah. But he's got 3 years, 13 mil per year left on a really team-friendly deal, and he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. I would be willing to start with Lewis or Kirilloff. And if the Rays or Reds or whatever team is making a big trade with the Twins are interested, I would be more than willing to include a guy like Jorge Polanco or Miguel Sano if they're interested in a major league ready, cheap player. I have no problem with giving up, especially Jorge Polanco right now. I'm not out on Polanco, but I am much less confident in him than I ever have been to be a good shortstop. I would love to include him in a package for a guy like this. Which
I mean,
won't come
who
as a
are you?
shock, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who would you slide in then for Polanco?
Andrelton Simmons.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, right now my ideal scenario, if a big trade were to occur, it'd be, say, Sonny Gray for Jorge Polanco. I don't think Sonny Gray takes either Lewis or Kirilloff. Maybe I'm wrong, especially if you include Polanco, but because Polanco's under control to like 2025 right now, which is insane. But yeah, Gray for say Polanco, Duran, another solid prospect or two. I would do that right now. I would give up Polanco, and then I would bring in Andrelton Simmons on a 1 year, eight to $10 million deal. I would love that.
I do like the Andrelton Simmons move, actually. You know, that would make that the Twins' left side of their infield just a defensive powerhouse with Donaldson and Simmons over there.
Yeah,
Know,
I
that
agree.
would
Same.
benefit the pitching staff a lot, especially if you keep, you know, Randy Dobnak in the rotation with the amount of ground balls he gets.
And
I hear
Byron
what you're
Buxton in center
saying.
field.
Yeah, that'd be a really stellar defensive team. I'm just I don't know if the Twins are in a position right now where they're going to part with Jorge. I mean, they certainly could. It would be a bit of a shock for sure. I think Jorge is still a good shortstop. He did improve a little bit defensively. His offense kind of dropped off a little bit in 2020. I know he still had that ankle injury, but I think if Jorge is healthy, Jorge is still a good player. This was the starter of the All-Star game in 2019, right? Like he is a very capable major league player. And so I think the more likely scenario is that he remains in Minnesota at least. But if you have to give him up to bring in Sonny Gray or Blake Snell, I'm all on board with it.
See, I think the Twins would be willing to do it. He went to the 29. He started 2019 All-Star game. He started. But the second half, he was mediocre. This past 60-game season, he was pretty awful. Like, he was playing like Ben Revere there, just chopping at everything, just swinging really weirdly at. He was not playing well. He made critical errors, especially in big games. But I think if presented the opportunity, this front office would definitely part with Jorge Polanco for a one-year deal for a guy like Simmons, especially with Royce Lewis, like, ready in a year. I mean, it just makes sense in my head. I think this would be great. Go get Sonny Gray. Part with Polanco, two to three prospects that are obviously pretty good because Polanco doesn't get you Sonny Gray. And then Simmons for a year. And then in 2 years, you've got Royce Lewis. I've got the whole future planned out at shortstop right now. I don't know why they haven't done this yet.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the Phillies should have been looking at you for president of baseball.
Right. I mean, no, I was looking at this before we recorded, and I was like, I've got takes today. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, no, I mean, that doesn't sound like a horrible plan. You know, I don't know why I hadn't really thought about Angelton Simmons, but I do like that a lot. You know, I guess my biggest frustration with Jorge is his defense, and you bring in Simmons, and, well, that problem solved. And they are similar offensive players. I mean, prior to 2020, I would say Jorge Polanco probably has a little more power, but you're also not necessarily paying a shortstop for power, and it's not like Polanco is a major power threat either. So I know I do like the Simmons take. That's actually a really good one.
Oh, did I just hear one of our listeners say they don't like a defensive shortstop for a one-year deal? Well, can I interest you in Didi Gregorius for a one-year deal to replace Polanco? That would be fun too. Or Marcus Semien. There's three really good shortstops out there right now that I think could be just as good as Polanco on a one-year, $10 million deal. 10 to 15, because Semien could cost a lot. But yeah.
Yeah, I think out of that bunch, I would rather have Simmons. I mean, Gregorius is good. I like
500 for the Twins, though. That guy murders target field.
Or does he just murder Twins pitching?
That's also true. He'd be really good in batting practice.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's my off-season plan right now. It's really clunky. A lot of moving parts. But I'm trying to win a playoff game here. I'm not messing around.
That is it. That is Cooper Carlson's 2021 New Year's resolution. Minnesota Twins win one playoff game.
Right.
So the Twins, what if it's a wild card game?
The season's a failure. You should have won the division. You're competing against the $33 million payroll Cleveland Indians and the White Sox, who have a really old man as their manager. You should win the division.
A drunken old man.
Yeah, literally. Right. It should not be an issue. But there has been some rumors about someone you're interested in. Kike Hernandez from the Dodgers, just because if the Twins do keep all their players, they'll need a utility man to kind of replace Marwin. And I know you love Kike. I mean, if he's coming here, you'd love that. I mean, that's a good move. There's really no downside to it, right?
Yeah, I mean, the only downside is that when he
limits your spending elsewhere.
That, and when Kike's not facing left-handed pitching, Kike's basically an average big leaguer who's going to cost you $7 to $8 million. And so, you know, $7 to $8 million is a decent chunk to pay for a platoon utility guy. But the Twins lineup is deep, or they maybe could get away with it. But overall, yeah, I do love Kike. I think Kike would be a great addition for this team, considering their struggles against left-handed pitching last year and how well Kike has hit left-handed pitching over his career. So yeah, I'd be stoked if they bring in Kike. I think that he would ultimately be a good pickup for the Twins, even though there are things about his game which give me some pause. But overall, he's a good player, and I'd love to have him here.
Yeah, me too. I mean, he'd fill the role of utility man very well. I mean, he plays everywhere, literally. So if they need a middle reliever, I guess he can slide in there too. But yeah, there's been some rumors about him, Joaquin Soria. If you know, Twins are going to pick up 2 to 3 middle relievers for $2 to $5 million. So he'll probably be one of them.
All night here, we've been talking about them spending, whether it's $15 million on Nelson Cruz or $38 million on Bauer, and then you got Tanaka or Paxton and Odorizzi and Kike Hernandez. Where does that leave money to spend on the bullpen? You know, if we're doing that, right, your bullpen's ultimately going to end up being a collection of minor league, you know, free agent Derek Law, Cody Stashek, Devin Smeltzer, and then Tyler Clippard would be your big spend in the bullpen, bringing him back at about $3 million.
Yeah. Man, the tough part about this is we have no idea what the payroll is really going to be like. It could be the same as last year. They could decrease by 15%. Who knows? It's probably not going to increase, but we don't know if it'll be $100 million or $140 million. It's just, I don't know what to expect, and it's hard to project, especially with Cruz just sitting out there, because that's $15 million that we don't know if it's going to be here. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. In a couple of weeks, hopefully we have some clarity here. I think the Twins would love some clarity.
I think this perfectly ties into what somebody joked about in the opening of the show, is how slow Major League offseason moves. We have no clue on any of this just yet. It's just a big giant wait and see game.
Yeah, that's what we were just waiting to see if there would be a designated hitter in the National League for like 2 months.
Make a plan to not have one. Oh, so we don't have one, just make a plan.
Yeah, all they had to say was no, like 2 months ago, and we'd be right where we are right now. It's insane. But, you know, whatever. They did it. So now Cruz knows his limits, at least. So a decision should come by the end of the month, maybe? I don't know. The offseason moves slow. Slower than Cruz.
And that is slow.
And that is really slow, yeah, because he's an old man. But, yeah, it's horrible. It's slow, and it's so much fun.
It can be fun. And then, you know, you have situations where you lose a fan favorite like Eddie, and then those moments do kind of hurt. But when you look at it from a practical baseball sense, they tend to make a lot of sense. And that's what happened with Eddie. Hopefully he has success wherever he ends up.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't have any more thoughts on anything. Unless you've got anything, we're going to wrap up here.
No, I got nothing. Hopefully we get some more news. We can do another show and have something to talk about instead of a drunken manager for the White Sox.
That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I hope we can, you know, if we got stuff to talk about in a couple weeks, that'd be wonderful, but unlikely. So just reiterate all this again. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, and see you next week.
Yeah, have a good night.